Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It is a blessing that we may come together for a second time on this day to join in worship of our triune God. We extend a warm welcome to you, also to any visitors and guests who have joined us, also via the live stream. We pray that we may be strengthened in faith by the preaching of the gospel. May God be honoured and glorified by our worship this afternoon. Consistory has the following announcements. As elders and deacons, consistory hope to meet tomorrow evening, the Lord willing, at 7:30 p.m. in the consistory room. An attestation has been requested to the Free Reformed Church of Byford by Brother Clayton Visser. We wish our brother the Lord's blessing as he takes up his place in his new congregation. The congregation is hereby informed that Brother Rahul Vyas and Sister Rosalie Vanderlaan from the Free Reformed Church of Kelmscott have indicated their intention to enter into the marriage state according to the ordinance of God. They desire to begin this holy state in the name of the Lord and to complete it to his glory. If no lawful objections are brought forward before the 10th of November, the ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, on Saturday the 20th of November at 12 noon in the Free Reformed Church of Mount Nasura with Reverend Poppy officiating. The following brothers and sisters have requested to publicly profess their faith and so receive admission to the Lord's Supper: Joel Boone, Marissa Desnoux, Nikki Hall, Thomas Hugadyk, Rowan Sibham, Julian Spiker, Hayley Wagoner and Abby Wilstra. Consistory, having considered and examined their motives as well as their knowledge of Scripture and the confessions, resolve with thankfulness to the Lord to grant these requests. If no lawful objections are brought forward before the 10th of November, the profession of faith will take place during the morning service of Sunday the 21st of November in the Lumen Christi College in Gosnells. This afternoon we may again welcome to our pulpit our minister, Reverend Poppy. And before we commence, let us sing together Psalm 81, verse 1.
I invite you to rise. Let's praise the Lord. We begin our worship service with a confession that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Receive the greeting of God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing a song of praise to our God. We're going to sing together the glory of God's majesty, Psalm 29, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
afternoon, let's make a public profession of our faith in God. Let's do so by joining the church of all the ages, by singing the Apostles' Creed, or confessing the Apostles' Creed. We're going to do that by singing together from hymn 1. Let's now pray to God and let's ask God for his blessing over our worship here today. Dear Father in heaven, once again this Sunday afternoon we come near before your throne of grace and we do so in humility. You are the awesome God. You are the Lord seated on the throne in heaven. You have power and glory and majesty. Father, when we look at your creation, then sometimes we see your awesome power in display in creation. We've just sung together from Psalm 29. And in this psalm, it talks about how you speak. Your voice goes out. And the result is that sometimes forests fall. Sometimes mountains shudder. Sometimes it happens that flames of fire come flashing down from heaven. And rolls of thunder come crashing down. You shake the wilderness, and some of your creation is splintered and broken at the sound of your voice. Father, what an awesome God you are. We've seen that. We've been in creation. We've seen the thunder and lightning. We've seen the ocean and the great power and majesty of the ocean. We've seen on pictures, maybe in real life, we've seen volcanoes. We've seen something of the awesome power that you have and that you display to us. And we stand in awe of it, and we give you glory for that. Father in heaven, thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for teaching us that you are the Creator and that you're the one who upholds all things. Thank you that we may know you and have a relationship with you. Thank you that we don't have to be afraid, but that this may be an intimate relationship, a relationship of love and kindness, of knowledge of each other, and of care for one another. Father, this afternoon we're hoping to open your word, hoping to see something of your glory and majesty so that we may praise and glorify you. Please work in our hearts with your Holy Spirit so that we have eyes to see it. And then we ask, Lord, that as we go from here, that we may testify to your greatness, that we're willing to tell others about what kind of a God you are and what you've done for us and about your power and glory. But we also pray that you would please show us mercy for our sins. Sometimes it happens to us that we sin against you, we disrespect you. We also sin against the people around us. Please be merciful for Jesus' sake, Father. Don't hold that against us. but show kindness to us and extend your grace to us. Thank you that we may know this about you as well, that you are slow to anger, that you are abounding in steadfast love. Please accept the songs that we sing, accept the confession that we make and the prayers that we offer. Please also use our thank offerings today, Lord. This morning we gave to Pindari. Pray for your blessing over the work of Pindari. Please be with Tim and Tanya, with the others there. Please grant that the work may go well, that your grace and your kindness may extend to the lives of these men. We ask that also our collections this morning can be a blessing for them. And this afternoon we also get to honor you by collecting some work for the mission work in PNG. Please be with our brothers and sisters in PNG, Father, especially since many of them have COVID. We ask that you would protect our missionaries, that you keep them safe, that you grant them healing, that you also be with the members of the congregation, that you surround them with your love and care. Please grant that they're not in fear, but that they may expect their help from you, and that you would give them a rich measure of the peace of Jesus Christ. Please accept our thank offerings, Lord, and please grant that they too may glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this afternoon, brothers and sisters, I have the privilege of preaching God's word to you concerning the prayer that Christ our Lord taught us. Christ taught us to pray in the first petition, "Hallowed be your name." So he wants us to praise and glorify God, to know God and then praise and glorify him for who he is. And in connection with that, I'd like to read with you one of the Psalms. Psalm 147 is a psalm that teaches us how to praise God. So we're going to read that together. You can find that on page 622 of your guest Bible. Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble, but he casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make a melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food, and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of a horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of the wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Praise the Lord. So far the reading of God's word. Let's sing the same song. We're going to sing from Psalm 147, the verses 1, 2, and 3. afternoon I may preach God's word to you, as we find that in the first petition of the prayer that Christ our Lord taught us. I'm going to consider this petition by seeing what the scripture teaches, as it's also summarized for us in Lord's Day 47 of the Heidelberg Catechism. You can find that on page 561 of your Book of Praise. The question asks, what is the first petition? Hallowed be your name, that is, grant us first of all that we may rightly know you, and sanctify, glorify, and praise you in all your works, in which shine forth your almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. Grant us also that we may so direct our whole life, our thoughts, words, and actions, that your name is not blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Then after the preaching of God's word, we're going to sing together from the same psalm, Psalm 147, the verses 4, 5, and 6. Dear brothers and sisters, congregation loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the great gifts that God gives us is the gift of relationship. The Lord loves you, and he's entered into an intimate relationship together with you. And he wants to walk with intimacy with you through life. But do you do that, brothers and sisters? Do you often open your heart to God? Do you have a close relationship with him? Do you know him well? And then do you also respect him and honor him for who he is and for what he does for you? You know, there's people in the Bible who had that. Probably one person who had the closest relationship with God was the man Abraham. You have this story in Genesis 18. He's walking past with a few of his angels. Abram didn't know that. He just thought it was a couple of men walking by. And he invites them in. And he prevails on them. He says, you know, you need to come in and let me show you some hospitality. And he makes a great meal for them. And it's quite striking because it's the only passage in the Bible where God eats a meal with a human being. There are a couple of other occasions where humans have offered God a meal. But on those occasions, he burned it up. And it became a sacrifice. But on this occasion, he actually sat down and he had this meal. He shared a meal with Abram and he walked and talked with him. And then after that, we're told this remarkable situation where God, he tells Abraham about his plans. He tells him about Sodom and Gomorrah, about some of the terrible things that were going on in those cities, and how he was planning to destroy those cities because of the evil that the people were committing. And then he allows himself to be challenged by Abraham. Abraham says, Lord, you know, are you really going to kill the people there? Like, what about if there's 50 people who are still righteous? Like, you wouldn't do that. And he talks him down and talks him down. What about if there are 10 righteous people in the city? You wouldn't kill 10 righteous people if you wouldn't just kill the city if there's still 10 righteous people, would you? Well, talk about intimacy. Talk about closeness. If you want another example, you can think of King David. He's a man who loved the Lord with all his heart. He knew God well. He walked in God's ways. And the result is that he also had this profound intimacy with God. It's quite striking. David talks about it in Psalm 25, verse 14. The friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. God's saying he's friends with those who fear him. That's quite quite an intimate relationship that God offers to us. It's meant for you and me too, brothers and sisters. He wants that closeness with you. He wants to walk with you and to know you and to show his love to you. But what does it take? The most important thing is that you know God. That you know him for who he is. It's when you know God, you're going to stand in awe of him. You're going to respect him. And you're going to see how amazing He is. And then you're going to open your heart to Him. You're going to depend upon Him. And you're going to trust Him. And you're going to praise Him. You know, it's really striking. We do that with the people around us. If you love your dad, and if you think that your dad is the greatest dad in the world, then that's what you tell your classmates at school. No, my dad is the greatest because he got a bunch of things why he's the greatest. Or let's say you love your footy. One day you're walking through Hay Street Mall and you meet Nick Natanayu. Natanui, sorry. Ugh. Got it wrong. Kid said you can't get it wrong, Dad. You meet Nick Natanui. And what do? Well, the first thing you do is you want to get a selfie with him. And you want to get his autograph. And you want to know him. And you tell all your friends, you post it on your social media, hey, I met this guy, you wouldn't believe it, here it is. And you go home. And you tell your mom, guess what, I met this guy. And your mom says, Nick who? And you say, Mom, don't you know this guy? He's the greatest in the world. Now you tell all about his career and everything that he's done and how great he is and what it really is for him. Well, that's what happens when you respect someone, when you love someone, when in your heart is full of who they are and what they've accomplished and where they're at. You know, that's the kind of relationship that God wants with you. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know Him so well that when you meet another person, then what's in your heart is you just want to tell them about God. You don't know the Lord? Well, you need to know about Him. You need to know who He is. You need to know what He's done. You need to know what He's really like and what He's accomplished for me. And that's the intimacy, a relationship that your Father wishes for you. Well, it's in the first petition here, our Lord Jesus Christ, He teaches us to pray for that. He says, one of the greatest priorities of your life, if you want to know what you should value, if you want to know what the good life is like, He says, the good life, it's a life where you know God. You have to know Him. And when you know Him, and the Catechism says, it says that will reach expression. You're going to sanctify, you're going to glorify, you're going to praise Him. You're going to set Him apart as great. You're going to glorify and praise Him. You're going to tell everybody in the world about Him. And Christ says, that's what you need to pray for first and foremost. The rich life is the life where you know God and you want everybody around you to know who He is and to know what He's done for you. Well, I've summarized the sermon this afternoon with this theme, pray to God that you would respect His name. So pray in the first place that you may know Him and pray after that that you may also glorify Him. Well, the question then becomes, brothers and sisters, how well do you really know the Lord? Do you know Him a little bit? Do you know Him quite a bit? Do you know Him really well? You know, when you read through the Scriptures, you see there's a bunch of different ways to know God. The Lord actually tells us, He says, one of the primary ways you can know Me, that literally everybody in the world can know Me, is through My creation. Romans 1, His divine power and His eternal nature are clearly revealed in creation. That's actually what the psalmist talks about here in Psalm 147. He looks at God's creation and he gets back to it on three separate occasions. He talks about different aspects of God's creation and he just needs to tell everybody about how great God is. He starts in verse 4. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. But when he thinks about God, then he says, you know, the Lord is the one who determines the number of the stars and he gives all of them their names. Well, if you're up in Coral Bay, it's on a clear evening, you look up, you know, you may be able to see maybe up to 10,000 stars. If you get a really good telescope, it can go up into the millions of stars. Here in the Milky Way, we're in this constellation of stars in this galaxy here in the Milky Way. They reckon somewhere in the order of 200 billion stars. It's hard to conceptualize that many stars, but that's how many stars are here in the Milky Way. If you tried to count them, for 100 years, let's say you counted for 100 years, 3 stars every second, that by the time you died 100 years later, you might count less than 5% of the stars here in the Milky Way. And that's just our galaxy. Once you start getting to know a few other galaxies, they figure these days in the observable universe, they have 10 to the 25 stars out there. That's 10 with 25 zeros. That's how many stars there are in the universe as far as we can see it. Well, the Lord knows each of them by name. He knows every single one of them. And he's named them. And that's in 1 Corinthians 15. It's in verse 40 there. It says that he gives glory to each star, and each star glory, the glory of each star differs from the other stars. So if you look at our sun, it's quite a different star than the next closest star in the universe. And that's different from the next one. When you start to study the stars, you see that there's actually quite a breadth of a difference in all the different stars that God has created. Well, this is the glory of your God, brothers and sisters. This is who God is. God says in Jeremiah 33, verse 22, that the host of heavens cannot be numbered. Yet it is to his glory that he has numbered them, and he's given to each one a name. Well, next time you look up at the stars, maybe you want to sing verse 2 of Psalm 147. Maybe you want to take what David says in Psalm 8 onto your lips. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. And then David talks about the moon and the stars and the glory that God reveals in them. Well, let me ask you, brothers and sisters, do you ever take time to appreciate God's creation? When we get to know the Lord, sometimes we talk about how we need to know the Lord. Then oftentimes when we talk about that, we emphasize the Word. That you need to read the Word, you need to study the Word, because it's through the Word that God reveals himself to you. Well, it's not just the Word. It's also creation. That's another way in which you can know God, and you can glorify him. In verse 8, the psalmist carries on with another part of God's creation. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. The psalmist here is amazed at the kindness of the Lord in providing for all his creation. Every day, the Lord covers the heavens with clouds. You know, most of the time, it's evaporation, the oceans, the rivers, the lakes. There's another way he does it. Usually what happens is the water from the ocean, it falls in the first 500 kilometers inland. But then if you have mature trees in that first 500 kilometers, then a mature tree will transpire approximately 500 liters of water in a day. And so the water comes in off the ocean, it lands, the trees take it up, it comes off the trees, it carries further inland, and it drops in further inland. He's covering the heavens with clouds. He's providing rain so he can make grass grow. And he can look after all the creatures that he's made. Well, then he talks about how he provides for the birds and for the animals. Sometimes we get a bit annoyed. You have an insect that munches your vegetables. Maybe you have some birds that come in and eat your fruit. Or a fox that gets in, he gets your chickens. But just remember, the Lord's providing for his animals. It's his joy to look after his creatures. It's really beautiful if you can have an eye for it, brothers and sisters. If you want to know someone in Scripture who did it well, it was King Solomon. God offered Solomon anything he wanted. Carte blanche, you pick, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon said what he really wanted is he wanted wisdom. He says, I need to look after this people, and so I pray for wisdom so that I can know what's right and just, and I can have discretion in looking after the people. And the Lord said, I will give you wisdom. And it's 1 Kings 4, the verses 29 to 34, that God tells us that Solomon had not only wisdom to know what was right and just, but he also had wisdom to understand the glory of God's creation. It says there, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and a breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than all other men, wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He also spoke of beasts and birds and of reptiles and of fish. And people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and from all the kings of the earth who had heard his wisdom." Well, wouldn't you have liked to sit in on a lecture when Solomon talked about trees? Or animals? Or fish? Get all the people from around the world. They came to him to listen to him because they had a breadth of understanding that was beyond measure. He knew more of God's creation than anyone else, and he taught everybody about the glory and the majesty of the world that God made. Well, in Psalm 147, the psalmist, he has that again. He breaks out later on. It's in verse 16. "He gives snow like wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes wind blow and the waters flow." Well, we have a bit of experience with snow coming from Canada. And there's these different occasions where the Lord sends this different kind of snow. So he talks here about making snow like wool. And really when that happens, if you have a really calm night, and if it's snowing really heavy, then the snow piles up. Every fence post, every branch of tree, all the ditches, all the roads, all the fields, they're buried in this snow. It looks like wool that's being scattered everywhere. Just this pristine, gorgeous, white snow that God spreads everywhere. Or other days, God scatters his hoarfrost. He scatters frost like ashes. Well, hoarfrost, it doesn't happen often. There's a few nights, a few days in a year where you get some hoarfrost. And so the conditions are that you need a cloud that comes from high up, it descends down low. It's often early in the morning, and it blows lightly. When the cloud is blowing slightly and it's super cold out, then you get these ice crystals that start forming on everything. And especially if it blows for a bit of time, then these majestic crystals that form all over on everything, all over creation. You want to get really well bundled up, and you go outside and you see the work of a master jeweler. The Lord scatters his hoarfrost all over the place. And it's just gorgeous. Where he talks here, the psalmist talks about these ice crystals. Sometimes it happens that there's a differential between the temperature high up and the temperature down on the ground. So if it's really cold high up, then the snow condenses, it becomes snow and it falls down. But if it's hot high up, then it falls as rain. And then it freezes on the way down. And if you're walking through that, you have all these mini projectiles that assault you as you walk down the road. There's these little crystals that God is throwing at you. That's what the psalmist is talking about here. And so he's a man who's lived through these things. He's experienced this. And it's just amazing to see the glory of God, the majesty of God on display in all these different kinds of ways. And he breaks out in song because of it. And then it's a day, it's a week, it's a month later that the Lord, he sends out his command, he blows his wind, things warm up, and everything melts, and the waters begin to flow. But when the psalmist reflects on it, he can't stop praising God for the glory of his majesty. Well, do you ever do it, brothers and sisters? Do you spend time in God's creation? Do you delight to see the power and the glory of your God? Do you try to understand and to grow in an understanding of who he is and what he's doing? And I'd encourage you to become knowledgeable about some corner of God's creation. Whatever you love, Find something you love. Spend time in that aspect of creation. Or read up about that part of creation. The more time you spend, the more you read about it, the more knowledge you become. Well, then praise God for it. You'll see His majesty. You'll see His wisdom. You'll see the complexity of the world that He made. You'll see the symbiotic relationships that exist between all different parts of His creation. And as you see those things, then praise Him for it. And tell other people about it. Now, if there's this excitement that you have within yourself, then be sure to share that with other people so other people can stand in awe of God. And that they too praise and glorify Him. You know, for you young people, if you're wondering about a career, you don't know where to go, you don't know what to do, I'd encourage you maybe consider some aspect of God's creation, studying some aspect of creation. Maybe you want to go into medicine, or to forestry, or to agriculture, or to marine biology, or maybe you want to get into chem or biochem, or maybe into advanced maths or physics. You can find some discipline somewhere, and the more you study it, the more you become aware of the glory of God's, of His nature, and of His creation. And then share. Make sure you tell others about who He is and what He's done. Well, if you keep reading in Psalm 147, you see that the Lord not only reveals Himself to us in creation, He also reveals Himself in the great things He does for His people. He's written these things in His word so that we can praise Him and glorify Him. It's in verse 2 and 3. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. There's a fair number of explainers. They think that the psalm was actually written after the exile and that it was written for the rededication of the walls of Jerusalem. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts. All the exiles, the Lord gathers them back to Himself again. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. It's very well possible. There's this occasion that it talks about in Nehemiah 12, verse 27. It talks about the occasion where they rededicate the walls of Jerusalem. And so they had this choir of Levites. They had rebuilt the walls all the way around Jerusalem. They had this choir gather on top of the wall. And then half the choir went one way, and the other half of the choir went the other way, on top of the wall, and they were singing God's praises. And then all the people joined them, and they walked all the way around Jerusalem, they came down on the other side, and they went into the temple courts, and they praised God for who He is and for what He's done. Well, it's very well possible that they used this psalm in order to praise God. It says in Nehemiah 12, that with gladness and thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, they had this grand celebration. Their hearts were filled with joy that God brought them back from the exile. And they wanted to praise the Lord for His kindness to them. Well, you can understand, if you went into exile, if you experienced warfare and the death of loved ones, if you've been taken as a slave to a foreign country, if you had people oppress you and take advantage of you, it probably would have left a lot of scars. These people were brokenhearted. They experienced a lot of distress in their lives. But the Lord healed them. He heals the brokenhearted. And how does He do it? In verse 12 to 14, the psalmist gets back to it. He says, "Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For He strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest wheat." God heals the brokenhearted. He restores the meek and the humble back to the land. And He gives them peace and safety. You can imagine. If you're back in your own country, if you're living in peace and safety, if you receive children from the Lord and you watch those children grow up, and they're healthy, happy kids, and they're thriving, and then if your wheat harvest is blessed, I'd say if you have lots of food, if you have lots of drink, then over the years, then your heart starts to heal. Then you have peace. Then you have rest. That's really God's gift to His people. He restores them. He gives them this healing. And when you're in that place, then your heart is filled with praise for God. You trust Him. And you love Him. That's actually what the psalmist calls us to do in verses 10 and 11. He says there, His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor His pleasure in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His steadfast love. You come out of exile, you settle back in your own land, and then you don't trust your armies anymore that they're going to keep you safe. You don't put your emphasis, your focus on people or on armies, on horses, on the strength of others, but you trust in the Lord. You put your hope in His steadfast love. And when you're in that space, the scripture says the Lord delights in you. He has great pleasure in you. It's very honoring to Him. Now that's the kind of situation where you have intimacy with God, where He reveals Himself to you more and more. Well, the psalmist is in that place, brothers and sisters. He sees God's power on display in creation around him. He witnesses God's steadfast love and faithfulness to his promises in restoring his people. In verses 19 and 20, he tells us that he also sees God's glory revealed in his law. You read through the law and you see something of the amazing character of God. What does he do? He praises God. He glorifies him. And he calls everyone around him to do the same. He says, this is our God. This is who the Lord is. And so he starts off in verse 1. He says, praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant. And a song of praise is fitting. And he gets back to it in verse 7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. Verse 12. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. And verse 20, praise the Lord. When you know the Lord, when you see His power and glory on display all around you, when you witness His majesty and His creation, when you read His law and you understand His character, then your heart is filled with love for God. And then the one thing you want is you want to honor Him. And you want to tell everybody around you about how great the Lord is and what He's done for His people. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, He teaches us in His prayer that this is to be the primary focus of our lives. If you want to live the good life, brothers and sisters, then you need to know God. You need to understand who He is and what He's done. And so Christ teaches, pray that you may know Him. Pray that you might understand His dealings with His people. His steadfast love for the brokenhearted. Pray that you see His character as revealed in the law. Pray that you see His goodness in His dealings with His people. It's in James 4, verse 8 that God promises us, if you draw near to the Lord, then He will draw near to you. Well, what a gift. And what a beautiful life. We can't do it of ourselves, brothers and sisters. We don't have it in us. It's really the Holy Spirit who needs to reveal God to us. When Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, He promised to send down His Holy Spirit. And it's through the Spirit that you have eyes to see. And your heart is not hard. And you're not ignorant of who God is. And you're not oblivious to everything that He's doing. But it's through the Spirit of Christ that you have eyes to see. And that you begin to understand of who God is and how great it is to see Him. Well, let's pray for the Spirit. Let's ask Christ to then reveal it to us. Christ knew God. He is God. And He showed the people of His day who God really is. And now it's through His work, it's for His sake, that God will again reveal Himself to us today. Let's ask that He may do so. And let's praise and glorify Him for who He is. Amen. Let's sing together. We're going to sing the last three verses of this psalm. Psalm 147, the verses 4, 5, 6. Let's now call upon the Lord in thanksgiving and prayer. In our prayer this afternoon, we'll also remember our sister Rita Cosinson. She had a fall earlier this week and she ended up banging her head. And so we'll ask God for healing for her as well. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we honor you. You're the creator of this world. And when we look at your creation, then we stand in awe of the glory of your name. Lord, we praise you for the variety that you have put in this world. We praise you for your imagination. You have such an incredible breadth of imagination and all the different creatures that you made on this world. There's literally billions of different organisms. And there are so many of each different species that you've made. We stand in awe of that, Lord, and we give you glory. We also look at the rest of your creation, Father. If we look at the stars that you made, we look at the heavens that you created. And again, the infinite nature is beyond comprehending for us. And we give you praise and glory for being such a great God that you made it, that you named all the stars, that you hold them in orbit, and that they're there by your command. And also, Lord, when we look at the minute things of this world, as we go down into creation, we look at the microbiology, and we look at the way that you created everything and put everything together, then again, we stand in awe of the glory of your name. Father, thank you for the beauty of the beaches, of the forests, Thank you for the variety of colors that you've made. Thank you for the different nature that you've given to all the animals. Thank you that we get to experience and to enjoy these things. Thank you also for your love and care for us as your people. We live in a time, we live in a place where we have so many blessings. We have peace and safety. Virtually no one in our generation knows what warfare is like. That's such a unique gift that you've given to us in our time, and we wish to thank you for that and honor you for it. Thank you also, Father, for the blessing that you give us in revealing your word to us. It's really through your word that we see the extent of your dealings with us, how kind you are and how faithful you are, how you fulfill the promises that you've made, how you're merciful to those people who don't deserve it. Father, we don't deserve to know you in this way. We don't deserve to be able to have this kind of intimate relationship with you. We've often offended you by things that we've said and done. And so we humble ourselves before you, and we wish to thank you that we may know you. Father, help us to know you more and more. Please reveal yourself to us. Please grant that this is a priority in our lives. Help us to study your creation. Help us to be busy with your word. Grant that we may, as we read your word, that we may contemplate your nature and your character, your faithfulness and your dealings with your people. Dear Lord in heaven, help us also to speak of these things to others. Give us a heart that's so full of you and so full of your glory and majesty that we can't help but tell everybody else about you. And that when we do so, Lord, help us to have shining eyes. Help us to have great joy in sharing your nature and your character and your work with others. We pray that also through us that you may receive much praise and glory. Help us also to sing, Lord. Help us to share what we've learned with others in all the different ways that we communicate with them. Father in heaven, we also pray that you would please grant that we can encourage each other in these things. We ask also for the young people. Oftentimes one of the difficult things the young people face is they need to decide where to go and what kind of job to pursue, what career path to follow. I want to ask that you would help our young people with that, Father. Please reveal to them what special gifts you've given them, what talents they have, and please help them to understand how they can best use those talents in service of your name. And if it's your will, Father, we also pray that you bring some young people into studying your creation, that they may stand in awe of your glory and majesty, and that they also have the ability to share that with us. Father, we also wish to ask you for your blessing over the teaching that happens. We're grateful for the school that we can support, that we can cooperate together as parents. We're grateful for the teachers that do the task there. Please surround them with your love and care. Please bless the work that's done there, and grant that it may be for the well-being of our children and for the glory of your name. Lord, please be with our children, that they make the most of the opportunity that they have to study, that this can be a joy and delight for them, and that they can grow in an understanding of you and in your world, and that they use their gifts before you. Father, we also pray that you would take care of us in the rest of this week. We thank you for the work that you've given us, and we ask that we may be faithful in doing the jobs that you've given us. Pray, Lord, for your blessing within our congregation. I want to ask for a blessing over the Bible studies that we have. We're grateful that we can meet together and that we can encourage each other to know you. And we ask that this may be a blessed experience for us. Also grateful for the elders, for the visits that they do within our congregation. They meet with many of the members in our church, and we want to ask for your blessing over those meetings. Grant that they can be beautiful visits of encouragement, that the elders can build up your people to know you and love you, to help those who are struggling, and to also admonish those who give sin a place in their lives. I'm also grateful for the work of the deacons, Father. I want to ask that you would please bless their work also, so that they may encourage us to know each other and to love each other. Please give them wisdom in caring for your people, and grant that may go well for us. I also pray, Lord, for all the preachers who are faithfully bringing your word to your people. Please grant that your word goes out in truth and with boldness and clarity, and grant that your people may be built up in their faith in you. Father, we ask that you would take care of each one of us in the individual circumstances of our lives. There's so much to be thankful for. There's also some concerns. This afternoon we want to bring our sister Rita Cosmason before your throne of grace. We want to ask for healing for her sister. She fell and she banged her head quite bad. We want to pray that you would please grant that it may go well with her, that she can heal from that and that she rests under your blessing. Please be near to her and to the other elderly members of our congregation in their old age. Please assist them. Please grant that they may be at peace under your love and care. Father in heaven, we also wish to ask that you would please accept the final song we sing here, accept the thank offerings we bring. Please do all these things for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, you now have the opportunity to give your thank offerings to God. The collection this afternoon is supporting the mission work that we're doing in Papua New Guinea. In connection with that, I'd like to read a couple of verses with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The Lord encourages us there in our giving. He says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's great encouragement that we give cheerfully, and that we do so as we've determined within our own hearts. And the beautiful thing about this passage is that the Lord finishes off by reminding of his promise when we do so. In verse 8 it continues, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. So he's saying, as you faithfully serve him, also in financial giving, that it is his joy and blessing to bless you in every way and to make you rich in every way in service before him. Well, the collection this afternoon is for the work of P&G, and after that we'll sing from hymn 8, verse 1. receive the blessing of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.